wondered why there's a mermaid on your coffee cup at Starbucks? Where exactly can you find the best sales? And when is the best time to buy a house? Maybe you'd like to know how to ask for a raise. And can you actually win in Vegas? Well, fortunately for you, Professor Juan has been teaching for over a decade, and he will give you the answers to all of these questions and many more. So settle in, grab a drink, and get ready. This world is crazy, and this is Juan's side of the story.
Okay, hola, hola, saludos, mi gente. Ernie, having a good time here in Miami?
Loving Miami. ¿Cómo están todos afuera aquí? How's everybody doing?
Coming to you live today for another episode of Juan's Side of the Story from just awesome, beautiful, hermosa Miami, Florida. Ernie, have you enjoyed our time here?
I'm not going to lie, Juan. I enjoy all of our trips, but there's something about Miami's beaches that doesn't compare.
This is just super nice. I would say the same thing. I thoroughly enjoy traveling, and that's one of the reasons for this podcast, but I just thoroughly love Miami. Just great food and drinks, and the scenery on this beach is just awesome. Awesome, awesome. I haven't seen so many million-dollar cars in my whole life.
I mean, if we were to make a count of how many cars we've seen, we probably had to do a separate podcast just for that.
It's ridiculous. If you drive a Ferrari here, I think that's like you're lower on the pay scale. There's amazing cars we've seen in the last couple of days.
Just beautiful cars.
But we're super happy to have you here today. So again, another episode of Juan's Side of the Story coming to you from Miami. And today we're going to be talking about something that seems fairly obvious when you're in Miami, and that's culture. So we're going to talk a lot about marketing to different cultures and miscommunications and how to segment to different ethnic groups and minorities and stuff like that. Because again, we're in wonderful Miami where it's just a melting pot of not only different cultures, but specifically Latino and Hispanic cultures. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But first things first, we want to talk about the city a little bit and some interesting things about Miami. So Ernie, what is one thing we've learned in the last couple of days about Miami?
I don't know if you knew this, Juan, but did you know that Miami was the first place to have the first Burger King? It was actually in Miami.
That's pretty interesting. That makes, I'm going to say something probably stupid, but that makes no sense to me. Why would Burger King be invented in Miami?
December 4th, 1954.
1954. If you told me fish tacos or a Cuban sandwich, fine, but a Burger King, that's kind of weird. That's kind of weird. How about this one? It's the only U.S. city, and I don't, you know, town, village, I don't know. But it's the only U.S. city that was founded by a woman, and her name was Julia Tuttle. And she encouraged a developer to found the city because of the railroad that was headed east along the East Coast. So Miami, the only U.S. city founded by a woman. I think that's pretty interesting.
Well, at the start of your podcast, when you talk about like how Spanish dominates Miami, well, Miami is about 71% Hispanic.
I think that's got to be wrong. It's got to be like 91 or 101.
Like 92.3.
High 90s. Wow, this is Latino, but, and we'll talk about that again in a minute, but it's not just Mexican-American or Cuban-American or even just Cubans or Mexicans, but all kind of Latinos and Hispanics here. It's got to be in the 90s. But speaking of 90s, that's kind of interesting. So we were coming to you last week from Las Vegas, and it was about 98 degrees. Well, we're coming to you live from Miami, where the average temperature in the winter is an extremely chilly 65 to 75 degrees.
But not today, Juan. Today we're looking at a beautiful 94 degrees with a nice breeze.
I'll be honest, it feels a little different from Miami, Las Vegas. It definitely feels different from Vegas. And again, it could be the scenery, it could be the daiquiri or daiquiris that I've been having on this trip. I feel pretty good right now. I'm sorry?
Drinks are a must in Miami.
No, that's two consecutive weeks that we've picked places kind of known for drinks. So I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
Drinks and beaches. I don't know what could be better on a trip, to be honest.
No, we were in Vegas. We had a lot of drinks, but now at least we have some beaches to go with it. So that's pretty cool. And again, we've seen just so many just amazing. I'm a car guy, but we've seen so many amazing cars. I didn't even know some of these existed, or I knew they existed, but only in a magazine. Ernie, have you been keeping a list? What is?
I think of all the cars that have driven by part, I think my top is the McLaren, the 570S Spider.
Ernie, not even McLaren. You actually know it's a
570S Spider.
How do you know it's an S Spider?
Well, for one, the body type of the car, the way it looks, two-door, almost like convertible top. The back of the car has a beautiful spider emblem, and you just know one.
I have just seen some beautiful machinery. Holy cow. There's crazy good cars here. Just beautiful cars. My favorite that I've seen is a Porsche 918, and I saw this in a magazine a couple weeks back, but I didn't think I would ever see one of these in person. And it was a silver Porsche 918. Just a lot of crazy thoughts have gone through my head. How do I possibly finance this thing? Juan has to get in a Porsche 918.
Well, for those listening, Juan needs a new Porsche. I think we all need to spread the word of this podcast so that we can start this GoFundMe account with
Juan. No, that's exactly right. Let's do one. Let's do a GoFundMe and see if I can, even if I could rent it for a day, that would be really cool. We got to look into that.
That would be a cool birthday thing for you, I think.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon while we're having lunch somewhere on the beach, let's talk about a GoFundMe and let's get a Porsche for my birthday. So just super excited to be coming to you live. We're not only in Miami Beach, but we're on Miami Beach. So literally, we went for a walk along Ocean Drive and we've passed the Avalon, we've passed the Beacon, and we're more or less, I don't know, halfway between the Colony and Starlight, here on a bench, toes in the sand, waiting for the sun to set so that we can see the neon, which if you haven't been to Miami, even if you haven't been, you're probably familiar with. It's got the largest collection of Art Deco buildings. Ernie, did we find out, is that the country or the world? I'm going to say the world.
I think it's the world, to be honest with you.
Let's say it's world, and if it's not, somebody correct us. But I think it's the largest collection of Art Deco buildings in the world. So we're waiting for the sun to set, which should happen about the time we're checking out of here. And the neon is just beautiful. So we've picked a nice little bench out here in the sand, and I'm enjoying my daiquiri, just about to finish this one. Maybe thinking about a piña colada after this one. Ernie, what are you drinking?
Well, and you've been looking at my drink so confused, like wondering what the heck am I drinking? I'm drinking what's called a Miami Vice. So for those that know, think of a Miami Vice is a marriage between a strawberry daiquiri and a piña colada. It's like if they met, they got married, and then boom, they're tied. You're talking about piña colada, right? You got the light and dark rum. You got the coconut cream, pineapple juice, some syrup, and some strawberries. And there you go. That's what I'm drinking.
That sounds pretty good. Okay, maybe that's the next one I'm going to have. That sounds pretty good. Right. No, that sounds wonderful. That sounds really good. Okay, so talk to you a little bit about the city of Miami, but now let's tell you a couple of people that came out of Miami. Ernie, what's the other first one we want to talk about today?
All right. I think she's one of your favorites. Here's one of her lines from one of my personal favorite movies, The Other Guys.
Why are you with Alan? I mean, that's not what I meant. I meant, how did you guys meet?
It's a really typical how we met story, Terry.
You're going to be bored by it.
I was a dancer for the Knicks while finishing my residency at Columbia Hospital. Alan came into the ER with poison ivy on his rectum.
Yes.
Needless to say, I fell for him immediately.
It's funny. It's like a scene from
that. That is Eva de la Caridad Mendez, also known as Eva Mendez.
No, for sure. One of my favorite people. Jiminy Christmas. Eva Mendez is just beautiful. Eva de la Caridad Mendez. Wow. So she's out of Miami. So that was a funny video with Will Ferrell. Just a funny line. Another one that I'll take is Wilmer Eduardo Valderrama. I haven't seen him a lot recently, but he had I don't want to say a cameo because it was two or three episodes, but he came out in a series I saw on Netflix about a year ago called The Ranch, which was kind of cool. But he's probably most famous for being, I think it's hysterical. His name was Fez from the sitcom The 70s Show, which ran for a long time several years ago. Hopefully all of you have seen that one.
And if you haven't, please enjoy this clip right here.
Yeah, now I have to leave the country after graduation. That's in a week. And I have to relearn my native language. Good day.
No, but first.
I said, I can show you para pa.
That was like a combination of like Spanish, French, and I don't know what other language you threw in there.
No, I don't know. Yeah, there was some Latin, some Indian. I don't know what that was. That's funny. Fez was arguably my favorite character. Ashton Kutcher was such a moron in that show. But Fez was just super funny, and it was a recurring theme that they made fun of his accent in there. So that was really, really funny. And if you've seen that show, he was famous for his little exit as he left the basement in Eric's house. He would always say, "Have a good day." Like, "I'm done with this conversation. Have a good day." So that was really funny. So Eva and Wilmer, that's an interesting name. Eva and Wilmer, famous for being from Miami. We're not famous for being from Miami, but famous Miamians. I like it when you come from a city that's easier to pronounce. The Las Vegans was interesting.
Las Vegas.
So two famous Miamians for you guys today. Okay, so I'm going to take another sip of my drink right here. And that's just yummy and refreshing. Love it, love it. So today, let's talk about marketing. Let's talk a little bit about marketing. And the name of today's episode is...
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Is that the way you say it? That's a bingo.
You just say bingo. Bingo! How fun!
That's such a funny line. That's a bingo.
That's a bingo. Inglourious Basterds is probably one of my personal favorites as well. That's up there.
I just saw that as it happens this past week. I was in my hotel and I was kind of bored. So I found it. I don't know if it was on Netflix or on Amazon, but I saw it for probably the 10th time. And Christoph Waltz is just so underrated. I'm so happy that Quentin Tarantino, casted. I think I can say this. I'm sorry?
Casted him.
I don't know enough about Christoph Waltz to know, if he was underrated or if he's been, busy with other projects. But I only know him because of Quentin Tarantino. And he's been in he actually had one of the lead roles along with Jamie Foxx in Django. But Christoph Waltz is just one of my favorite actors in the whole world. And he has that very funny, I don't know if it's a funny line, but it's funny and an important line in the movie. That's a bingo. So I don't want to ruin what's going on in the movie or in that scene, but what a great, it's a great little dialogue he has there with Brad Pitt.
You just say bingo.
And that's hysterical because I have no earthly idea. I haven't seen an interview. Maybe I should find that out. I'm dying to find out where Brad Pitt developed his accent from for that movie. Ernie, I'm going to ask you a trivia question. And if you get it right, you can Google it. So put down your phone. If you can tell me what state he's from, I'm going to give you like a 10-second head start. If you can tell me what state Brad Pitt's character, Lieutenant Aldo Rain, if you can tell me from what state Lieutenant Aldo Rain is from.
I'm in the surprised movie. You know his name.
No, I'll be honest. I'm not going to mislead the listeners and say I remembered that. I would remember that. It just so happens I saw it about a week ago. So it just kind of sticks in my head. Well, anything that happens more than 8 days ago is out, I promise.
Especially with these drinks.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to convince everybody I remembered, all kinds of things. That's only because it's recent. And by tonight, after a couple more of these, that's gone. But I'll make you a deal. If you can tell me what state Lieutenant Aldo Rain is from, in fact, Aldo the Apache is from, I'll buy you that concoction, the Miami Vice. We'll find you another one. Ready, go.
Well, judging by his accent, I'm going to guess he's from Tennessee.
That is okay.
That's a bingo.
What is it? You absolutely get a bingo for getting the state right, but that was one of the worst accents I've ever heard.
I get better.
That's people in Miami might think that was a Southern accent. That's funny. Maybe we should try that out on some bartenders later. Let's see if we can sell it. You're from Tennessee. That would be an experiment.
I'll call myself Aldo Rain.
That would even be more funny. Let's see if they even know that name.
Catch it, right?
That would be very... Let's do that. That's absolutely the deal. So I'm going to buy you a drink anyway because you did get it right. But for the next hour after we're done with the podcast, let's go around and see if we can pull it off.
Aldo be drinking some drinks.
That's a funny character, a funny accent, just a great movie. I didn't know he was in it. I'm trying to remember which I saw first, to be honest with you. I didn't start watching The Office... I didn't watch The Office live, if that's the way you would say it. I started watching it like in the fourth season or fifth season towards the end. And then I had to go back. I think it was on Netflix and I binge watched, I had to go backwards and caught up.
Probably one of the best series.
Yeah. But what's funny is I don't know. I don't think I even, maybe I'm wrong. I don't remember hearing about it for years. Maybe I was wrong, but I was very late to the game. I had to go back and watch several years. But I'm not going to mislead the listeners. I can't remember his name. What was the guy's name from The Office?
Which one?
The temp. He's always hitting on Kelly.
Ryan.
So Ryan
started the fire.
Yeah. Ryan is in that movie, and he's one of the bastards. Oh, that's true.
He is one of them. Well, he's getting interviewed.
He's one of the bastards. Yeah, and then one of my favorite characters is
they call him the little guy. The little guy.
No, the little man.
Oh, the little man, yeah.
That actually comes on that same speech with Christoph Waltz, and he informs him that that's his nickname from the Nazis. That's hysterical. Little man. And it's funny. He looks very, he's similar. That's Ryan, but he's different. I don't think of him as Ryan. I actually see him as one of the bastards. So great movie. It's also got Michael Fassbender, if that's how you pronounce his last name. I assume it's Fassbender. He's also a really good actor. And Dan Kruger, I don't know, maybe I'm not watching the right movies, but I think Dan Kruger should be utilized more. I think she's a great actress and she's very pretty. Just a great movie, Inglourious Basterds.
I mean, don't forget the cameo though, Mike Myers too.
Mike Myers. I don't know if most of our listeners, that'd be interesting to know. I don't know that most of our listeners would get Mike Myers because he's been off Saturday Night for so long. I can't even, so for the third time I'm going to say this, I don't remember all those things. But see, I'm totally blanking. Ernie, what's the name of those movies?
Austin Powers?
Austin Powers, my God. Okay.
Come on.
See, I can't remember any, if it happened more than 8 days ago, I don't remember. Okay. I'm not kidding. Maybe it's too much traveling, too many daiquiris, too many bourbon drinks.
I think someone has had one too many drinks right now.
If I haven't seen the movie in the last whatever, I just don't remember anything. But anyway, so I don't know if most of our listeners remember Saturday Night Live or Austin Powers or the skits from Saturday Night Live. But Michael Myers has a great scene in there, and he has a weird accent too. It's very exaggerated English. Very, very exaggerated, but it's funny. I think that's the scene where they introduce Michael Fassbender, actually.
Yes.
Let's not talk about that. I don't want to get off on 10 minutes about that movie. But that's a bingo. So that brings us to today's topic. And I want to talk about culture and languages, misunderstandings, micro-marketing, lots of good stuff here. Ernie, let's put you on the spot again. I'm in that kind of a mood. I've had a daiquiri. Have you noticed a lot of marketing towards the Latino community here in Miami?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, almost every other advertisement's either in Spanish or has a Latin person in the picture itself.
Can you give me an example?
Like for the other day, I saw there was an ad for, I think it was a Honda Odyssey, and it was a Hispanic family.
Yeah, that's a good one. What about the menus? Have you noticed, or signs as we've been walking around? Mostly English or mostly Spanish? Do you think it's 50-50?
I would argue it's about 50-50.
I would agree. I think this is probably an obvious thing to say, but maybe for some listeners that haven't been in Miami, it kind of depends where you go. So I've noticed in certain neighborhoods, it tends to be mostly, maybe the most interesting thing I can say is that I haven't gone anywhere where I haven't noticed some kind of marketing in Spanish, just anywhere. There's always some flavor of the Latino or Hispanic culture. So it might be, I don't know, 10% in certain neighborhoods. In other ones, it's going to be 50-50. But in some neighborhoods, it just seems like it's all Spanish.
I was about to say, which has been almost all.
Yeah, especially like the menus. And, you know, maybe it's just me and Ernie, but we've been looking for Latino and Hispanic dishes. Ernie, anything that's been your favorite so far?
I mean, I'm a big steak person, as you already know. The churisco, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but the churi...
I'm going to say churrasco.
Churrasco, right? Churrasco?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically like a cut steak. So good, Juan. I actually found a place that a local told me about that we definitely need to check out. So I'll be making reservations at El Toro Loco, Churrasco, Little Havana.
Little Havana. Haven't made it there yet, so...
So we have reservations there, Juan, so we're definitely going to check that place out.
Excited about that. So it's only Wednesday, so we've got a couple of really... I'm a little bit nervous, Ernie. We've already had a lot of fun, and I'm a little bit nervous about Friday, Saturday night. It's going to be just crazy.
A lot of good food, a lot of good drinks, though, so I'm not complaining.
No, for sure. Lots of scenery in all kinds of different ways. Very excited about Miami. Okay, I think what better way to introduce this idea of the mixing of cultures and how important it is to consider culture and ethnicities and even languages, which we're going to talk a lot about right now. But what a better way to introduce this, you know, melting of different languages and cultures than to talk a little bit about Gloria Estefan or Enrique Iglesias. And who's this third one, Ernie? I don't know. I don't want to say the most popular because those
are... Are you going to call him Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide? You know, it's a... For those of you who are not bobbing your head, I apologize because I was literally bobbing my head as these songs are playing, as Mr. Pitbull, Mr. 305, is also very popular here in Miami.
Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide. Mr. Worldwide, that's just such a great name. That's arguably one of my top two or three favorites in the whole culture, the whole music industry. Ernie, tell our listeners who Pitbull, what is Pitbull's Christian name?
Armando Cristian Perez.
Armando Cristian Perez, otherwise known as Pitbull.
I don't know how you got Pitbull from there, but...
No, and I don't know. Maybe we can ask right now after the podcast. I'll get you another one of those Miami Vice drinks. And as you're acting like Aldo Rain, let's figure out where Pitbull came from. We'll ask one of the locals here. I actually had the opportunity to see him last year in concert. I'm not saying this to offend anybody else. I'm sure I could say this about a lot of shows, but I just didn't stop dancing from the moment that boy walked on until he walked, maybe even a few minutes after he walked off. What a great show. And you're dancing the entire time. That boy knows how to entertain an audience. Have you seen Pitbull?
Yeah. I've seen Pitbull probably like twice. So I'm probably going to age myself, but the Kiss FM used to do a thing called Wango Tango, where they invite a bunch of random artists. And it was literally Maroon 5, Pitbull, Enrique Iglesias. Like, just with those three names, I was like, I'm there. Pitbull arguably is probably one of the most entertaining people I've seen live. Like, when he brings the energy, it's like energy.
Yeah. How do I say this politically correctly? He's a great singer. Don't get me wrong. I think he has a great voice and he's a great singer. But he's just an entertainer. I don't know that he's the best singer in the world. I don't know that he's the best dancer in the world. I'm not saying he's bad at both, but he just entertains. He's an entertaining guy to watch and a show to watch. He's got lots of gorgeous dancers and other background singers. Just a great show. And that song, I don't know which is my favorite, but Fireball, for some reason, always gets me kind of moving. You've got to check your
pulse. All his songs have that upbeat.
No, he just wants you to dance flat out. If you're not dancing, get out of here.
Literally.
So let's talk just real quickly about Gloria Estefan real quick, because she goes back quite a ways. So maybe for some of our older listeners, probably early 80s, I would say, really started. It was actually Gloria Estefan and the Sound Machine that introduced a lot of this Cuban and Hispanic Latino culture into music and really was at the forefront of this mixture. And I think she paved the way. I kind of equate it to when I watch the football players and baseball players and how much they get paid now. They owe so much respect to the guys in the 50s and 60s that didn't even have helmets, right? And got their faces crushed and they were working for minimum wage almost. The baseball players in the 20s didn't get paid at all. And it takes somebody to pave the way. So for Pitbull, and he even announces this in his concert, which just speaks volumes about his character, is he mentions all the people that paved the way for him to be, like you called it, Ernie, Mr. Worldwide. Just what a humble guy. Yeah, it's just amazing. So Gloria Estefan, I think, was, you know, just a trailblazer in that avenue. And she was named one of the 100 greatest artists of all time by VH1 and Billboard, which is just tremendous. Wow. So a shout out to Gloria and Pitbull, for sure. We're going to need a different one. That's not an acceptable sound effect.
We need something like,
yeah, that's weak. I mean, that's like something for the PTA. We need something better for Gloria and Pitbull. But no, it's super funny. So just amazed at the differences I always tell people that Dallas or Houston are bigger versions of like San Antonio in Texas, or LA is a bigger version of San Diego, and New York might be a bigger version of all of those cities. But there's always two or three cities that I tell my students or my friends or my colleagues that just really stand out to me because they're purely, purely unique. And one of those, which I'm dying to get to, but I'll be honest, Ernie, I don't think this is on the calendar until maybe February or March in NOLA, Ernie, New Orleans, Louisiana. Yeah, so either Mardi Gras or sometime in the spring. But I always tell people that New Orleans is purely unique and just amazing. And another one is Miami. There's just nothing like Miami. The food, the language, the music, the culture. But we saw the gentleman on the weekend, they were playing dominoes. Where do you see that in the country?
To see traditional domino playing like that? I don't know. I haven't seen anywhere.
50, to paint a picture for some of the audience or for those of you who haven't been there, it's a park and, I don't know, 60, 70 gentlemen, and they all seem a little bit older and they all seem like gentlemen. There might have been some ladies and there might have been some younger people. I didn't count. But it just seemed like older gentlemen playing dominoes there in the early morning. And it was just amazing. And some of the locals have told me they played tournaments and they have some in the evening as well. But it was amazing to see 70 or 80 people playing dominoes. And again, some of the food, we'll talk a little bit about food later.
Juan, but have you played dominoes?
I can honestly say I have not. Well, I'm gonna embarrass myself. I've played dominoes, but I don't think I've played it the real way. How's that?
So you played drunkenos.
I can't even think of a funny way to say it. I've played ignorant dominoes, ignoramanos.
Ignorant.
I don't know. I don't know. That, maybe that's a good one. I don't think I played dominoes the right way, but it was really, really cool. I wouldn't mind learning. It seems very interesting. In fact, maybe that's something we can try before we leave. We've got a little bit of time. Yeah. If we're not too hungover, we'll find some people to teach us. Yeah, we'll get some Cuban coffee, a little cafecito, and we'll learn dominoes. So today, the headline topic is going to be consumer behavior. And it depends on the semester, depends on my mood. But my first lecture, my very first lecture when I start a consumer behavior course, is I talk about how similar or how different we are. And I go around the room and I ask people, overall, do you think people are the same or different around the world? And depending on the semester, I'll get different answers. Are we the same or are we different? So Ernie, I think this is the third time. This one's easy though, because there's not a right or wrong answer. But I'm going to put you on the spot again.
Okay.
Do you think people, as you know, we've been traveling, this is our sixth episode, we've been traveling around all over the place. Do you think people are the same or do you think people are different?
I'm going to say different.
In how? So you know, that's a cheap answer. You got to elaborate.
Well, for one, I mean, there's different, depending on where you live, right? Depending on your environment, you grew up with different expectations. So you have different drives. So there's different things that will attract you than others.
Let's see. How do I ask that question? Sometimes it's easier to come up with an answer when you're in a suit in front of the class.
Right.
But so that's not wrong, but do you think that makes us different? Okay, so let me back up. We have 320 million Americans.
Okay.
The obvious thing to say is we're all different, right?
Correct.
And one thing I tell my students is I've had the benefit of having twins, I want to say three times over the last 15 years. What's been great is you'll see even among twins, they'll recount how different they are in personalities and hobbies and interests.
Okay.
So just because they don't like the same foods as their twins, as their twin, does that make them different? Are they different people? What would you say to that?
Yes, they're different people.
Okay. There's no right or wrong answer. I just think it's
interesting. I'm just trying to picture what you're trying to say.
Oh my God. Okay. So do you think... Okay, let's be more pointed. Do you think people that are Latinos or Hispanics are different than people that come from other cultures?
Yes, they're different. The reason why they're different is because they come from different backgrounds, different environments, they have different things that are shown to them, right? Like the advertisement in Texas, right, or New Mexico is not going to be the same advertisement it would be to someone in California. There might be similar commercials, but overall it's going to be different.
Right. No, I think that's super. Again, there's no right or wrong answer, but does the average 12-year-old in the United States like hamburgers?
No.
And again, you know, you don't think so?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, these kids are so different nowadays. I mean,
I think it's interesting. So, you know, and it depends on my mood that semester. We'll have a lengthy talk about this. But, you know, the average 12-year-old, I mean, you could be from Calle Ocho, and we'll talk about that in a minute, here in Miami, but you might want, like you said, a Burger King that was founded here. Didn't know that. You might want some plantains. And I have a funny story. I'll try to remember this before I finish the stackery. I have a funny story about plantains. But just because I eat different foods doesn't mean I'm different, or does it?
Well, not necessarily. Okay, if you ask it like that, then no.
Yeah, so what if I'm Christian and you're Catholic? Or what if I'm Catholic and you're...
Or you're a vegetarian and I'm a meat eater, right?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's something I'm seeing a little bit more of. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm just paying more attention. I don't know if there's more of them out here. Maybe I'm paying more attention. But you'll see some vegetarians out here, or even vegans, which is interesting. But does that make me a different person? So that's interesting. And I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. But in consumer behavior, which is the foundation, I'll argue, for most of marketing, we have to understand consumers and their drives, their motivations, their desires, what they're trying to accomplish, what just everything. So another question I'll ask my students is, does everybody in this room want to be, how many of you want to be a CEO? How many of you want to run a business, a large corporation? And depending on the semester, I'll get anywhere from a third to maybe half, but it's rarely more than half, which is really interesting to me. And I've taught at three different schools and it's been over 15 years. And I can tell you it's the same among all three. It's rarely more than half. And I'll say, that's interesting. Why are you majoring in business if you don't want to run a business? And I'll get all kinds of different answers. But what I try to bring up on that first day, that first lecture, is that not everybody is raised with the same goals, desires, and motivations. And then when I say something like that, for whatever reason, that tends to open them up. And I'll get lots of different opinions. And Ernie, I'll ask you in a minute. But some students will say, no, I don't want to run a business because I'm more about family. Or I just don't want that pressure. I don't need that much money. I'd like to make a good living, but I don't want to be a millionaire. And I don't want to work 80 hours a week and, you know, put in all the work that's necessary to run a corporation. And all kinds of different things. Some say, I want to run a business, but for myself. I want to be an entrepreneur. That tends to be more common in the last 5 years. So, Ernie, before we go on, I have two questions for you. One, do you think you've changed now? And we're not going to tell the audience how old you are. You're 62. I'm joking.
63.
Ernie looks good for 63. Do you think you're the same now as when you were in college or high school, whichever?
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
In what ways do you think you've changed?
I think maturity-wise, for one, I still laugh at some of the jokes, but no, but in serious thing, I think like my drive is differently. Like before, I remember like when I was in college, I was really motivated by making money, right? And as I progressed in my career, I realized that, well, it wasn't money that was motivating me. I was more thrilled with like traveling, right? So then traveling became that focus. Yes, I still want to make money, but money for traveling, not money just to say I have money.
No, that's a good one. I have the same story. When I was 18, there was no second place. There was no third place. It was just about money. I wanted to flat out be as rich as I could. And the goal was to go to New York and either be... I was so naive, I didn't even know what the title was. I don't know what the business card was going to say, but I wanted to go to New York and do something in finance. And I'm going to leave it that vague. Something in finance. And I wanted to be a multimillionaire. And as the saying goes, sometimes God here, you know, well, God always listens, but sometimes he gives it to you. So when I was really, really young, I made a lot of money. And I realized early on, not only was I not happy, I was actually more stressed and more...
miserable.
Just more. Yeah. I don't know if I...
You're a miserable. I don't want
to
say
miserable. That's terrible. But pretty close to miserable. I tell my students, I didn't know what color my house was. And they're like, I don't understand. And I'll say, I was leaving so early in the morning that it was dark.
And
because I had to
so
be
late.
In my office. And yeah, exactly. I was coming home so late, I never saw my house during daylight hours. It was crazy. A little bit on the weekends. But on the weekends, I was even running errands because I couldn't do anything Monday through Friday and even Saturday. I was working, working, working. So I basically, all I needed was a cot. I was working so hard. I didn't need a house. I just needed a sleeping bag. So as I got older and older, I realized that I wanted family. I was seeing my parents less and less, even my sisters. My relationships were terrible. And as I got older and older, I realized that family and free time was much more important to me. So like you said, I wanted money to travel and I wanted a nice car, but I definitely wanted time to go to the park or to the beach, or even just to see a 3-hour movie with my kids was more important to me than, you know, just a huge checking account.
Time is the most valuable commodity.
The only thing that money can't buy is time. So listeners, think about that for a minute. The only thing money can't buy is time. So if you're working for 80 hours a week or 90 hours a week, that's great. And maybe you're making a great income, but you're never going to be able to buy back that time. So if you're missing weddings and quinceañeras and birthday parties, there's a cost to that. So just something to mull over, but that's my point. Some of you listening to me are going to be more focused on money or travel or being independent. Some of you are entrepreneurial and you'll work 80 hours a week. We're all different. So going back to my question, are we similar or different? There's no right or wrong answer. But I think when you bring in culture and heritage, I think it just gets to be just such a great discussion. So I don't know what chapter of the book this is in, but in my consumer behavior class, we'll talk about micro-marketing. And micro-marketing is about segmentation at the smallest level. So, and it's a great topic for Miami. I specifically wanted to talk about this. I've been saving it for when we came to Miami, because New York would be the same. But Miami, you can't say you're marketing to Latinos, or you can't say you're marketing to Hispanics. I can't even, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, I can't tell you how many discussions I've had. I was actually invited to go speak at Stanford University, which is one of the highlights of my career. But I was asked to go speak at Stanford University for some research I had done on the Latino and Hispanic culture and Hispanic entrepreneurship, which was amazing, met some great people. And we talked for at least, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. And I thought it was fascinating. We talked for about an hour about the differences between Latinos and Hispanics. And I think that was just, some of the people that are listening might go, Juan, that's, I don't get it. And I think that's the whole point of that discussion, was that it's almost like you care a lot or you don't care at all. But it kind of opened my eyes to how differently we view Latinos and Hispanics. So if I say we're going to run an advertisement in Miami for Latinos, what does that mean? There's a difference between Mexican Americans, Cuban Americans, Puerto Ricans, Central Americans, on and on and on. Ernie, have you seen this show called Modern Family?
I've seen a couple of episodes, yes.
Do you know where Gloria is from? Do you know the character Gloria?
I know who you're talking about. I can't think
of what you're talking about. Do you happen to know where she's from? No, okay. So in the show, Jay, and he was from Married with Children. I can't think of his name. Ed something. But he's from Married with Children, or that's where I remember him from. But he's the patriarch in this TV show. And he marries a very young woman.
Jay Pritchett.
I can't think of her name. Yeah,
his
Jay
name's
Pritchett.
Jay. Yeah.
Yeah. And he marries a young lady. She's beautiful. What's her name?
Gloria Delgado, but she's Sofia Vergara.
Vergara, yeah. So he marries Sofia Vergara, beautiful woman. And he always talks about Mexican, Mexican, Mexican. And she gets really upset because she's Colombian. And to him, there's a couple of episodes where he says something like, ah, tomato, tomato. And it's funny if you understand that. So I think in the show, they're painting Jay as being a little bit racist or ignorant. But there's a huge difference between being Mexican and being Colombian. You know, you can't say, oh, Guatemala, El Salvador, they're all the same. That, no. At all. It's a very offensive. There's huge differences from being from different countries. And even so I'm going to play you a video clip, or not play a video clip, an audio clip for the audience in a minute. But the difference is just among Spanish speakers is tremendous. So you just can't go after the Latino community because that's not detailed enough. So we'll talk about micro-marketing, which is marketing at the smallest level. You might have, in fact, maybe let's just play this video. So here's a little interesting thing I wanted to share with the audience about languages. So let's see if the audience enjoys this little clip.
How do you say when in Spanish? Cuando. What about you tell? Cuentas. Stories? Cuentos. What about how many? Cuantos. You count? Cuenta. So how do you say when you tell stories, count how many stories you tell? Cuando cuentas cuentos, cuenta cuántos cuentos cuentas.
Ernie, you want to give that a shot?
Okay. Let's see. I saw the saw he used to saw the tree down. It's not as good as that one, though, because that was like eight different times. That was only three. Or me and my wife were on a date with our typical dating when someone asked my wife why she's eating a date.
Like, ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. A date. I was on a date. Wait. While I was dating.
I went on a date.
I went on a date.
And I was asked about my date while eating dates.
No, that's a good one.
Or the fair-skinned boy was treated fairly at the state fair.
The fair-skinned boy, yeah. No, those are good ones. That's a good one. I'm tempted to put this one, maybe we'll put this on the Instagram account. This is such a funny tongue twister. Cuando cuentas cuentos, cuenta cuántos cuentos cuentas.
Say that five times fast, Juan.
No way. I'm not even going to try two.
That's your challenge right here.
I'm not even going to try two. That one's crazy. So language and culture are just super important because we don't even eat the same things. Spice, for example, you might meet a different... I'll even go so far as say this. When you meet somebody from Mexico, it depends what region they're from because they don't always eat... I think it's very cliche to say everybody drinks tequila and eats jalapenos, and that's absolutely not true. I've met Puerto Ricans, and they have virtually no spice in a lot of their menu items. So it really, really depends. So I'll share with the audience this little story. A long, long time ago in a different world, how does Star Wars start? In a galaxy far, far away. In a galaxy far, far away, I was an intern in Washington, D.C. And I was with a group of lots of different people, but the predominant group were Puerto Ricans. And they were just amazed at some of the things I said. So I'm going to get some hate mail from some of the listeners. But they made fun of me one time because we went out. And I don't know if this is Texas. I don't know if it's El Paso. I don't know if it's whatever. But we went. It was pretty close to the 4th of July, and it was pretty hot. And we went out, and I asked for nieve. Or I said how excited I was to get nieve. And they looked at me like, Juan, what the hell are you talking about? And I said, nieve, like ice cream. And they just... I can't paint a picture of how much they were laughing at me. They were just almost on the floor laughing at me. What's nieve, you moron? And I was like, it's ice cream, you idiots. Like, quit laughing at me. And they're like, Juan, no, it's helado. And I was like, I had never heard of that word in my life. So some listeners are going to hate me for saying that. I had never heard of the word helado in my life. It's always been nieve.
That's interesting.
Helado. So as I became more educated and not so naive, I learned that nieve is like snow. So I had been learning the slang word for ice cream. Well, fast forward a little bit, and I met somebody from Mexico, and they were telling me that it's not even helado, because helado just means chilled. So anything can be, not anything, but a lot of things need to be helado, right? So that needs to be chilled. So again, holy cow, words mean things, people. So don't say the little, what the hint for today is, don't say nieve. That's the first way to get laughed at.
It's funny you say that, Juan, because when I think of that, like my dad growing up used to drive what's called a Ford Pinto, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just found out because, you know, shout out to my Brazilian friends out there. The bang, you know. Pinto in Brazilian means small genitals. So as you could tell, that car did not do well in Brazil because no one's going to drive Ford small genitals in Brazil.
So, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, I assume we know you know, that's probably more specific than what Ernie's talking about. But no, that's not too many people are going to want that car. That's crazy. No, that's just crazy. You've got to be really, really careful with translations and meanings. So, and you know, so in my class, we'll talk a lot about the differences between English and Spanish. But just within the Spanish community or Latino community or Hispanic, whatever you want to call it, there's just tremendous differences in, again, how we were raised, in how important family is, how important money is, how important education is, everything. We're not all the same. Just because our last name is X or Y, Gonzalez, Martinez, whatever, doesn't mean we all are the same. And I think that's just so important to understand. And I don't think a lot of people do, especially if you're young or if you haven't traveled or, you know, you haven't read or you're not educated. But at the very least, if you travel, you'll start to pick up on these differences. So just really, really interesting. And I want to introduce, I don't know, let's see how many of the listeners know this topic. So in the middle of one of my chapters, I'll talk about this thing called the SRC. And that's the self-reference criterion. And that's the extent to which we judge cultures and experiences by our own. So, you know, and I'll introduce this idea of bias. So in the United States, we're very biased. We're very, like, we're really proud of being American. We're ethnocentric, right? So Americans are known for being very ethnocentric. Well, I'm not saying we're not, but it kind of aggravates me when people say that, because a lot of people from a lot of cultures are ethnocentric. Most Mexicans are very ethnocentric. They're very proud of being Mexican. Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know. Mexicans are just really, really proud of being Mexican. So I don't like it when people say Americans are ethnocentric. I think almost all of us are, depending on where you're from. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's when biases come out and you really need to understand yourself, you know, the idea of a self-reference criterion, because you have to understand that not everybody approaches their world and their life like you do. They all don't value the same things. They may not want to work as hard as you, or they may want to work harder. One thing that a little bit different, right? We're talking about cultures, not necessarily Latino in this case, but several years ago when I had the opportunity to go to Italy, I was amazed. And it, as soon as I was amazed, it kind of made sense to me, but I was amazed how few shops, restaurants, complete shutdown the retail, to what extent the retail community shut down on Sundays. You just could not go shopping, and very few restaurants were open. And I was one of those morons walking around looking for a restaurant because I didn't understand that. Everything was closed, 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 and I was getting kind of frustrated, and I had to stop for a minute and say, what's going on? Why can I not get something to eat on a Sunday afternoon? And it occurred to me, everybody is in church or should be in church, or at the very least are spending time with their families. But it was interesting to walk around, this specifically Rome, and I'm walking around and everybody's dressed just so formally, so nice. Little, you know, even little boys and girls, 2, 3, 4, 5 are walking around in maybe not suits, but kind of like their Sunday best. The little girls were in dresses and the little boys were like in slacks and little like dress shoes. Nobody was wearing shorts and, you know, their play clothes. Very formal on that Sunday. And everybody now, you know, did I see everybody in the world? No. But the people that I saw out tended to be kind of your nuclear family, like the mom and dad and 2 or 3 little kids walking along enjoying their Sunday. I thought that was just amazing, because in the United States, Sunday is kind of like the fun day. And that's when you do go out to eat. I think, to be honest, Ernie, that I started hearing that when I went to LA, when I first met you, was this idea of a Sunday fun day.
You're welcome.
Well, but see, that's interesting. So it was good because we had a lot of fun sometimes, but shouldn't you be in church? Shouldn't you be with your family? So is that the day you should be out there playing around, or should you have been at church and then with your mom and dad or your kids or your wife or whatever? So that's really interesting. In Italy, it's not Sunday fun day. It's almost the exact opposite.
It's like Sunday worship day.
Well, I don't know how many of them, I could even quote you statistics, but the relevant point is maybe they're not even in church, but that's the day to at least spend with your family. Whereas in other cultures, Sunday might be the day to go out. So I think that's interesting in how we approach marketing. And another example would be Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays because they want their employees to, again, you don't necessarily have to go to church, or they don't, you know, you don't have to be part of a certain religion, but at the very least, they want you to spend time with your family, or that's the idea. So that's why a lot of people always ask me why Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. Think about that. That's how much money are they losing by being closed on a Sunday? And some of my students will say they're missing one out of 7 days. And I'll say, no. And they're like, Juan, I'm a little confused. Isn't there 7 days in a week? And I say, yeah, but I don't think that. Yeah. I don't think they're losing out on 1/7 of their income. I think it's way more than that.
It's like 3/7 almost.
It's something. It's got to be like that, because on a, you know, a random Tuesday or Wednesday,
they don't get a lot of traffic. But if you see them on Sunday, you know, right after church, for example, boom, they would get all the church people.
Just weekend. Just, that's a lot of money they're giving up, but that's how important that family day is to them.
Family.
So
cute Dom Toretto.
this is a terrible, I don't know if this is a terrible thing to say, but I've heard of drinking, I haven't done one yet, but I've heard of drinking games that you can play whenever they say the word family in one of those movies. I think that would be pretty interesting.
I got family.
And he says it with that accent, the Vin Diesel accent, right?
I can't even try to do it. I'm not good. No.
I got family.
Yeah, no, you gotta get that. You gotta get deeper.
I've got family.
Mm.
Still no, damn it.
I'm trying to go as deep as I can. You gotta stick with the podcast.
Okay, fine. I'm not a movie star, damn it. Okay. Just really important, culture and language and marketing. Another thing I wanted to talk about related to that is, there's actually, we talk about this in retailing, we talk about this in principles for sure, even strategy, but we'll talk about this idea of the message and encoding a message. So what do I mean by encoding? How am I trying to get my message across? Is it verbal? Is it video? Is it visual? Is it audio? Is it hearing? Is it through what media? Is it a billboard, a flyer, an email, a text, social media? So how am I trying to encode this message? How am I trying to send it out to my prospective customers? And what's really important is you have to put yourself in the consumer's shoes and understand how they're going to receive that message. So again, you have to make sure there's not a miscommunication on the language, on a misinterpretation of the word, but even what visuals you're using and what you're trying to stress. Is it the sale? Is it value? Is it the price?
The service.
There's lots of reasons to go to, let's put Ernie on the spot again. There's lots of reasons to go out in LA. But Ernie, do you think I'm safe if I say that some people go to restaurants in LA just to, and it could be any city, really. But do you think some people go out just to be seen at a certain place?
Oh, absolutely. You get to see people walking down Melrose, you know, Beverly Hills, Hollywood, driving the rented cars.
Yeah, just to be seen, right? And Ernie, have we seen that? Have people been driving down Ocean Drive at, this is what's funny to me. I always talk with my best friend Adrian about this. People buy these supercars, and Ernie mentioned he saw McLaren. I've seen Porsches, Ferraris. Ernie, anything else you've seen that you can remember?
Lamborghinis, I mean.
So listeners, we had a funny discussion right before the show started about the Huracan, and I'm hoping I'm doing my best effort there. We had a discussion about the Huracan and how you pronounce that. And in a future episode, I'll be honest, I'm going to tease the listeners. I'm not going to tell you why it's called a Huracan right now. But it's just been amazing seeing how many supercars. I'm talking, Ernie, what do you think? 2, 3, half a million?
Oh, yeah. You're looking at about 250,000 and up, for sure.
For sure. And we're not talking about sports cars. We're talking about supercars. And these things go, I don't know, 180, 200, 250, 220, I think, is a typical speed for a supercar. And yet they're going down Ocean Drive, Ernie, about how fast?
They're going about 1 or 2 miles per hour. Think of, if you're in Los Angeles, just think of that LA traffic. They're just like bumper to bumper. But hey, they're in a supercar with sunglasses on. Super cool.
Yeah. And on Ocean Drive, I don't know that it's necessarily a traffic issue, but it's more, I paid a lot of money for this car.
Yeah. I'm not checking in our first gear at all.
Yeah. I think you might even have to ride the clutch in these bad boys the whole time, because they're going, you spent $200,000 on a car that goes 200 miles an hour, and you're going 2 miles an hour. So you have to figure out in your, when you're marketing, whether you're trying to focus on the exclusivity, on the value, on the price. What message are you trying to relay to these customers?
And then what type of customers you're trying to get, right? Are you going for the high value? Are you going for low, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, lately this has been such an interesting topic in my class because it seems like fewer and fewer of my students are buying cars just for the sex appeal. And I can't now, and now I'm obviously talking to Generation Z. It's rare now that I have a student that's not in Generation Z. And I don't know. I don't think I've ever taken a poll necessarily, but about at least half of my students buy a car now just because it's transportation. They don't care what color it is or, you know, how fast it goes.
As long as it's economic, cheap, you get it from point A to point B.
I don't know. That's even, I would have to ask him. I'm not sure if it's economic or cheap. They just want transportation. Reliability, maybe.
I'll say affordable transportation that's reliable at least.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like affordable. Not cheap. Cheap has a different kind of, in marketing.
Yeah.
So that's a little thing. In marketing, cheap and affordable are not synonyms. And that drives me crazy when students use them interchangeably. Cheap and affordable are not synonyms in marketing at all. Not at all. But affordable and reliable is really all they care about. It doesn't have, a car that does 150 is almost stupid because, like we've talked about, when are you going to go that fast?
Yeah.
Never. And the cost of insurance and maintenance and heaven forbid you get even a fender bender is ridiculous. So a lot of my students now don't even want to spend that money on a nice car. They're happy with, you know, just reliable transportation.
Honda Civic.
Affordable, reliable, and, you know, they're good looking. They're not Porsche 911s. So, you know, we want to make sure we understand that the consumers have different goals and priorities, but do they understand the message? And I usually play this game and depends on my mood, but I'll play different variations of a game where I'll show things on the board for a few seconds and then I'll ask them to memorize it and they'll struggle. So I purposely give them a message that's really lengthy and very few students can memorize the whole thing. And they kind of ask me why I did that. You gave us such a tough chore, like a task. And I'll say, I wanted you to understand about the concept of understanding. And I think that's really important because one thing I've noticed, and I don't think this has changed from generation to generation, but it's just person to person. But the average person, I will say, feels defensive when somebody says, well, I didn't understand you. So Ernie, you're a manager. You have a lot of experience as a manager. Did you ever have an experience where an employee, I'm not saying you were, you know, reading them the riot act or yelling at them, but did you ever have to chastise one of your employees for a misunderstanding?
Oh, often. Yeah.
Or even daily, would you say?
I wouldn't say daily, at least weekly for sure. Especially if it was done in front of a customer where it's going to ruin the reputation of either myself or the company itself.
Yeah. No, that's a super good one. Is there any chance you remember a word or a, how are they misunderstanding you? Can you think of something? No?
Not on the top of my head. I can't give you a specific example.
Misunderstandings can be so slight, so small. And what I've noticed, and again, this isn't generational and this isn't even cultural. The average person tends to be really defensive when they're talking to somebody and the other person says, well, I didn't understand you. And a lot of times people just fly off the handle quickly and say, well, that's your problem. Or that's because you're stupid. Yeah. That escalated real quickly as the saying goes. And it's funny. All of a sudden there's a shouting match because of a misunderstanding. You know, what I try to tell my students is I'll say, now, not all of you want to be CEOs, but I'm preparing you as if you're going to be, right? I want you to leave here with that experience and that knowledge. So what I want to impart upon you is that when there's a misunderstanding, it's always your fault. And again, depending on the semester, some of my students will argue with me and say, well, that's stupid. What if that person's ignorant or didn't do their work? And I'll say, no, you're making it complicated. If there's a misunderstanding, it's always your fault. And some of them will still fight me. And I'll say, when you send a text message that says, meet me in the conference room on Friday, and then they write back and say, well, when and where or how or whatever, you might argue and say, well, God, what stupid employees. They knew it was noon. We always have meetings on Fridays. Well, that may or may not be true, but why not just put that in the email?
Be specific.
Please be in the, be specific. This Friday at noon in the conference room. I mean, there might even be different conference rooms.
No, I agree, because those times where we had, like, for example, like district meetings where all the managers have to gather together and they'll give one location, but they want to give the room specific. So you have like four different groups of managers in four different places trying to figure out where to, should they meet that.
It's an understatement to say that's frustrating and inconvenient, and it's causing confusion and chaos when there shouldn't be. So just say, meet me here, where, there, what time, what, you know, the whole, give everything. You want to discourage, in a good way, you want to discourage communication with needless emails and call, you know, calls and et cetera, et cetera. Just be clear with what you're trying to say. And I don't want to pick on anybody, but a lot of communication now is via text or even, you know, like a DM or what have you. And a lot of my students will make fun of me because I use capital letters and punctuation. Yes, I'm old. I do the whole nine yards. But it's so frustrating when I get a text or a DM from somebody that's just anybody. I'm not going to say it's based on age, but from anybody. And it's just a lengthy, lengthy group of words. I don't know what you want to call it.
I call it the breakup text.
Why is that?
Because you know what? It's a breakup text. It's like a long descriptive, like script, when it could really have been just like five or six words simply, or
I call that's it interesting.
I call it the breakup text. Every time I say, like, oh, great, the breakup text is here. You have to bust out your glasses and you have to try to understand the emotion and, you know.
No, that's funny. I don't want to rattle one of my sisters, but one of my sisters will send me a text like this. And it's, I don't know where one thought ended and the next one began. Nothing. No periods, no commas, no capitals. Just,
it's like the random ideas are in your head. You're just typing them out.
I don't even understand it, because again, I'm old school and I'll write, you know, an actual English paragraph. And my students will laugh at me and say, Juan, you're just old. I get it. But I always tell them, I'm old, but I'm trying to help you in your careers. You're going to have an issue if you're emailing your boss with this same
lingo,
with these same skills, with these same practices. You're going to get, at the very least, you're going to get, you know, just torn apart by somebody.
Reprimanded.
And you might even get fired. I'm sorry?
Reprimanded, for sure.
For sure. You can't DM or email your boss with this same approach. You have to communicate effectively. You've got to get the message across. And that's only made more important when you're talking to people from different cultures. So I can't tell you how many of my students have come back to me, which is awesome. I love when students come back to me after a couple of years. You know, they're alums and they're out there in the world. And they'll email me and say, can we meet or can we talk? I've got a problem. You know, they're managers now, which is awesome. And they'll say, I'm having such a difficult time with, you know, Susie or Johnny or whoever. And it's because they're not able to communicate effectively with them. And I'll always make sure I ask, the first thing I ask them is, tell me about them. And they'll say, Juan, what does that have to do with it? And if they don't know a lot about them, I'll chastise them, because you need to know your employees. You need to know all about them. And if you know about them, you'll know how to communicate, because not everybody even wants to be
spoken to the same way.
There you go. Exactly. So I'm sure, Ernie, you had multiple employees. Did you have to interact with them differently?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I would not, like, what, for example, if Juan came in to open up his son's bank account, right? I wouldn't have the same lingo I do with Juan with the son. So you would have to know how to jump from that, especially when you're speaking to, obviously, from a male to female, it could be different cultures, right? When you speak to an older audience, you have to be more respectful.
For sure. Yeah, whether it's gender or age, culture, ethnicity, there's so many things you have to consider when you're trying to get a message across. But at the very least, listeners, you want to make sure when you're talking to anybody, girlfriend, wife, mom, dad, brother, sisters, coworkers, best friends, anybody, you have to understand that person and what's the best way to communicate with them. When I talk to some of my sisters, I can talk like this. When I talk with others, I have to talk like that. So even though I love them, you know, I love all three of them, I don't talk to them in the same way. So that's, I think, one big takeaway for today. Ernie, before we move on, any other thoughts about that topic?
I mean, just going back to what you said, one thing that pops out to me too is the translation thing. So I don't know if you knew this, Juan, but in the whole Got Milk slogans, do you remember that era? What Got Milk was?
Oh, of course. Big?
So it didn't do so well in Mexico. Do you know why? Because if you translate Got Milk, It literally translated to, are you lactating? So audience, just be careful once again. Because the things that are said in a language does not necessarily translate the exact same way in another language, that's for sure.
No, that's a super good one. You just have to be careful. Just a lot of miscommunication out there in the world. And that's an understatement to say that's not what we need right now. So, oh my gosh, I think all of us get that idea. Have to work on communication. Okay, a couple things to wrap up today's show. Hopefully I enjoyed that conversation. Hopefully you guys did too. A couple things to wrap up the show for today. Ernie, should we give an award for the contest winner?
I think we should, Juan. I think it's time.
I think we should. And if you listen to last week's episode, we gave a little shout out to Adrian because I called him Mr. Vegas. So we were in Las Vegas, so I called Adrian and said, you got to nominate a song for today's episode. For this week, I kind of did the same thing. So I want to give a shout out to my boy Esteban, who was just accepted at the University of Southern California, USC, as it's named.
Mr. 310, Esteban.
Mr. 310. That's interesting. So that's 310. How is Miami 305? That seems odd. We'll look into that.
He's Mr. 310.
So Mr. Esteban Hernandez out there in California with his lovely wife and two kiddos was just accepted to he's going to pursue a doctorate in education, and he'll be starting his career this fall at the University of Southern California. And I just wish him all the best for him and his wonderful family. I always see Ernie and Esteban when I go out to LA. So just a big shout out to Esteban and his family. Wish you all the best. I know you're going to be a huge success. And I asked him what song he liked. And for my new listeners, so we have a contest every week. Next week, we'll go back to an actual contest and we'll choose from the nominees. But Esteban sent us this song, his favorite song from a movie. He selected this one.
Green Sally up, at Green Sally down. Last gun start, gotta tell the crown. Green Sally up, at Green Sally down. Last gun start, gotta tell the crown. Green Sally up, at Green Sally down. Last gun start, gotta tell the crown. Green Sally up.
Ernie, what's the name of that song?
If you didn't hear that, you gotta listen. If not, it's gonna be gone in 60 seconds.
So for our listeners if you weren't paying attention, that song was gone in 60 seconds.
Great, no, but movie. That's actually a really good movie, Nicolas Cage. I know we talked about Nicolas Cage in the last, I don't know if it was the last episode, the one before that.
Yeah, I think it was last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, super good movie. Old.
And that movie's old. About cars as well, which ties into our episode because we talked about cars in a way, right? The supercars. And in Gone in 60 Seconds, they had to pick up all these cars. So there's your tie-in.
They know, absolutely. And I think some of these guys, holy cow. Again, listeners, I can't tell you just what we've seen in the last couple of days. But
I was hoping to see Eleanor, though.
Eleanor's
Nicolas Cage. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, my God. Of course I remember. I drive a Mustang. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know. It might go as fast as some of these supercars, but that's not going to be as sexy as some of these. I just can't imagine seeing, Aston Martins, Bugattis, Lamborghinis. I've seen a half a dozen. I mean, they're just everywhere out here. But what a great movie. I think some of these guys are rich enough that car's gone in 60 seconds, right off the lot. So great song. If I remember, that's by Moby, an older movie from 2000. Ernie, how many times have you seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
Oh, man.
I've seen it 100 times.
I could argue about the same amount.
Great movie. So Esteban, again, a huge shout out. Be looking out for a prize from Juan's side of the story. Great nominee for today's show. And Ernie, let's wrap it up here. What are we excited to do for the next couple of days? Where are we going?
Well, I mean, after we check out that restaurant I told you about, Juan, in Little Havana, right? I think that you're going to be super excited that I found us an interesting concert to go to. Well, I don't want to call it concert, but it's a festival. It's a Miami Salsa Festival. Ooh. I know what you're thinking, Juan. I know you're thinking, like, wait a minute, salsa doesn't do good well in my stomach, but it's not the salsa you consume, it's a salsa that you move to.
No, I'm down for both. I'm a big salsa guy. Both. That'll be super exciting. I'm looking forward. We haven't again, it's only Wednesday, so we haven't, you know, gone everywhere yet. But I'm looking forward to going down to Calle Ocho, and I'm going to find me a Cuban sandwich. Ernie, I can see you making faces at me. What?
I mean, that's cool and everything, but I'm going to go back with the Miami Vice. Well, you're going to be eating. I'm still going to be drinking while listening to some of this type of music.
No, look at that. There you go.
Hey, little Havana.
That's hysterical. Ernie, for the listeners out there, Ernie started playing that music and at least two or three different young ladies started. I think Ernie's got a date. At least a dance.
Well, whoa. If my wife is listening, that is not true. While I was playing the music, I was actually had a rosary out and the Bible in front of me, and I was reciting, you know, Corinthians.
Selena, oh my God, I'm joking. Ernie is phenomenal. I'm just joking. We might get some jerk chicken, which is going to be interesting, and maybe some platanos. Didn't know about platanos until, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, maybe 10 years ago. But looking forward to maybe getting some platanos out here in the 305 and some more drinks.
While listening to Mr. Worldwide.
While listening to Mr. Worldwide. Ernie, why don't you take us out with that music for today's episode?
Hopefully you guys got to enjoy our talks and everything that. With that being said, I hope you guys enjoy yourselves. Juan, I think you need to close it out with your saying. I'll leave that to you.
All right. Good afternoon or good evening, everyone. It's been a lot of fun. Looking forward to some good drinks, some good food, lots of interesting things to learn about in marketing, micro-marketing, miscommunications, being ethnocentric. But that's just one side of the story. Ernie, salsa time.
Have a good night, everybody. Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide. Woo!